Hey, Matt, how you doing?
Hey, Solicitor, how are you?
I'm good, and you?
Good. Are you ready to help us get some progressives into the country?
Have they paid my retainer yet?
Well, I was advertising free legal.
Oh, boy, we must have got our signals mixed up there.
Well, we'll give you a bonus for every progressive you get in the country.
Okay, that sounds good to me.
Standing by for your counsel, counselor.
Okay, let's do it.
This is the Yes We Canada podcast, the progressive's guide to getting the fuck out. This episode, happy landing, immigrant.
Hey, I'm Matt Zimbel in Montreal, Canada. We're going to sit down with Josh in a sec to see how we can sneak you progressives into Canada after Trump wins. But before we do, a short history, and I mean a short history of Canadian immigration. Let's start with me, because pathological narcissism is huge in the States right now. In 1971, I immigrated to Canada from New York. I was 15 years old. Somehow, I got in. Well, I got in because my parents said, "We're moving to Prince Edward Island, Canada, get in the car," and I did. My two brothers, my sister, our dog Evans, and a few assorted cats crossed the border in two Citroëns and a tent trailer. Ethnically, we were hippie. Economically, we were humble. And emotionally, we were happy. The stop at Canadian Customs and Immigration only took about 20 minutes. Ironically, but unplanned, the day we crossed into Canada was the 4th of July, American Independence Day, y'all. I remember my parents being very excited as they handed each of us a floppy piece of paper about 1 by 4 inches with our name, the date, and the stamp of the border crossing station. This paper declared that we were now landed immigrants of Canada. We also got a red and white plastic card called a social insurance card, which looked exactly like a credit card, and in fact, it was free healthcare for life. I put it in my wallet, right next to my selective service notice sent from the U.S. Department of Defense, telling me that in 3 years, when I turned 18, I was to report to my local draft board to fight communism in Vietnam.
Well, come on, all of you big strong men. Uncle Sam needs your help again. Got himself in a terrible jam way down yonder in Vietnam. Put down your books and pick up a gun. We're going to have a whole lot of fun.
We were now in Canada. But I had left all my cooler-than-now hip friends in New York, including my adolescent girlfriend. Excuse me, I myself was an adolescent at the time. You guys should be ashamed of yourself for what you were just thinking. Say you're sorry. Our family moved into a dilapidated farmhouse on 100 acres that cost $16,000 Canadian and bordered on the ocean. There was no running water, but there were skylights. Actually, they were just holes in the roof, and there were 2 tons of rotting potatoes in the basement. PEI is an island in the Gulf of St. Lawrence. You drive to Maine, hang a right, boom, you're there. It's just a wee bit bigger than your Rhode Island. Just like Rhode Island is a state, Prince Edward Island is a full-fledged Canadian province. At the time, the total population was 112,000 people, including my new adolescent girlfriend. I was excited by this family adventure, but honestly, at times during that 2-day drive from New York to PEI, I did wish Canada had one of those cool programs like in the U.S., where Homeland Security separates immigrant children from their parents and sends them back to their country of origin. So that's how I got into Canada 53 years ago. Not sure I'd get in today, but back in the day, it was a lot easier to immigrate to Canada. Oh, I mean, I've been a good enough landed immigrant, never went to jail, never spent a night in a hospital, employed lots of people, never voted conservative. And if you'll permit me to humble brag for a moment, my proudest landed immigrant moment was when I was asked to write, produce, and direct Canada's annual national celebration called Canada Day in both English and French, coming live to the nation from Parliament Hill. I did it 4 times. It's my own version of the Canadian immigrant dream. Damn, I'm talking about myself and you're sitting around thinking, dude, get your head out your own ass. I need to figure out how to get up to Canada when Trump gets reelected, right? Right, absolutely got you. We're going to get back to this short history of Canadian immigration in a second. But first I wanted to tell you, during season 2 of Yes We Canada, I got hit on LinkedIn by a guy named Josh Shacknow. Said he was an immigration lawyer and would like to do the podcast. My first thought was, what's to do on the podcast? We don't have guests. But I'm in touch with my inner American, and we love gumption. Gumption is good. Josh and I spoke. He seemed knowledgeable and passionate about immigration. And I said, leave this with me for a year, and I'll get back to you. I mean, a year on the immigration clock is nothing. Then ex-President Trump started telling Russia that they should attack NATO countries who were in arrears on their contributions. And then the twice-impeached, 91 times indicted ex-president started threatening a bloodbath if he wasn't reelected. And then, well, I just thought, wait, what? This is starting to get fucking serious. And people like you, progressive people, might want to actually start thinking about moving up here. So we booked you a lawyer on us. Let's check in with our legal team, Josh Shacknow. So, Josh, I'm an American progressive. I want to move to Canada. I want to immigrate to Canada. I can no longer tolerate the lying, the cheating, the dysfunctional government in the United States of America. I'm a political refugee or whatever you want to call me, but I have to get out of here. So tell me, what do I have to give you to have you open a file and start to get me immigrating to Canada?
Yeah, well, the first thing we want to do is kind of evaluate your profile, right? So if I may, I'll ask you a couple questions. The pieces of information that are most helpful can usually be found on something like a resume, but it would be great to know things like your age, you know, work experience, what's your current occupation, what's your highest level of education. That would be a great starting point.
You mean all stuff that Google already knows, right?
Exactly. Well, didn't want to say it, but
okay.
Yes.
Okay, good. So I'm 67. My profession is I am a musician and a producer and an artistic director and a podcaster. I mean, that's, you know, pretty impressive. And and then I... my highest level of education is I have my grade 9 certificate, which I'm very proud of.
All right. So usually the first thing I would ask a client is, what is your goal, right? Because the first thing to think about is, well, there are actually many, many ways to come to Canada. There are multiple different immigration statuses, shall we say, right? So one kind of misconception or one detail that some people don't realize is when we say immigration, or becoming an immigrant, technically that means you're becoming a permanent resident of Canada, right? But there are other ways to come to Canada. You can come as a visitor, you can come as a worker, you can come as a student, and eventually kind of work your way up to an immigrant, aka permanent resident, and then you can decide if you want to approach citizenship, right? Obtaining a Canadian passport, if, for example, you didn't have one. So on my first review, what I would say to you, Matt, is, because you are a U.S. citizen, I'd say, and based on your work history, which we can talk about in a second, getting you to come to Canada as a visitor would be very easy. Getting you to come as a worker would probably be relatively easy because we can go into specific programs that they have for things like producers and artists and stuff like that. Permanent residence, I'll tell you right off the bat, is going to be real tough. I hate to say it, your age is not going to help and your education is not going to help. And we can go into why, but maybe I'll take a quick pause there and ask, you know, do you have any questions, any thoughts, or where do you want to take this consultation next?
Well, in my particular case, I think the first question I would ask you is, my education is what it is, and would they not look at the CV and see the accomplishments, and I don't want to sound pretentious or anything, but, you know, the awards and stuff like that, would that not kind of like backfill in for the fact that I'm ignorant, I mean uneducated, I mean whatever it is that I am?
It's a good question, and this is one of the gripes that I've had. So when we talk about getting permanent residence, right, really becoming an immigrant, there are many pathways. The primary one for what they called skilled workers is called express entry. Now, this is a points-based system, meaning that you're basically given a score, right, based on their factors. One of them is age. And as soon as you pass the age of 29, you start losing points for every additional year. So off the bat, you've lost a bunch of points, sorry to say. Under the education department, unless you have something like a bachelor's degree, multiple bachelor's degrees, a master's, a PhD, you're really taking a hit in points from an education standpoint. So there's number two. Now, on the work experience side, they don't give any extra points beyond 3 years of skilled work experience. And this is kind of a gripe that I've had with the program over the years is for something like foreign work experience, foreign skilled work experience, you get points for having 1 year, 2 years, 3 years. Anything above 3 years, you get the same amount of points. So some schlub with 4 years of work experience would get the same amount of additional points as you would for having 30, 40, 50 years of work experience, right?
Okay, interesting.
So that's a problem there under express entry. Now, another thing we could take a look at are what they call PNPs, provincial nominee programs. What these are is IRCC, Immigration Canada, has come up with these partnerships with the provinces and territories and said, hey, listen, we created this program, Express Entry, right? We have this one pathway to PR, but we understand that your needs might be a little bit different province to province. So we're going to allow you to create your own programs called PNPs, and you can kind of build your own systems and target the labor needs that you might want as well, right? So another thing to consider could be, all right, well, knowing that Matt has a lot of experience as a producer, podcaster, et cetera, maybe we start looking for a province that has programs that target that type of work experience. Now, off the top of my head, I have some more bad news. Most of those programs are targeting things like STEM, like healthcare,
right,
like trucking, like entrepreneurs or investors, which that could be an option. I don't know how much cash you've got in the bank, and maybe we do or don't want to share that information with Google if they already, you know it. But most provinces or many provinces have what are called entrepreneurial PNPs. So, hey, if you have a certain net worth and you're willing to buy or start a company in our province, we'll talk. You know what
so,
I mean?
So it's like having like a bouncer at the door, at the boundary of a province. It's like you have to pay to get in. It's like a cover charge.
Yes, in the sense that those specific programs, entrepreneurial PNPs, you definitely, it's more of a pay to play, so to speak. You are supposed to have the requisite experience, right? So for example, if you've never worked as a manager or as a business owner in your life, you might have a tough time going through that program.
Even if you have $2 million.
Exactly. Now, right, provinces are a little bit different, right? So for example, Quebec has a investor program that just reopened. It was closed for a few years. They have a big net worth and investment requirement, whereas some other provinces might require something of a net worth in the range of $400,000-$600,000 Canadian, and then require you to make an investment of say $200,000-$300,000 to buy a business or start a business or stuff like that. So I wish it was like one simple answer, but not only are there multiple PR pathways, each province even has their own programs where some of them are very similar, some of them are different, and then some are in between.
So this idea of being able to pay to play type of thing, is there an investment fund you can put the money into, or do you have to start your own business type of thing? Like, is there like a provincially run capital fund or something like that?
Through the provincial PNPs, they are supposed to be for starting or buying your own business that you would then operate. That's the intention.
I see. Okay.
Now, not everybody plays by the rules. And unfortunately, over the last 5-10 years, probably forever, realistically, I haven't been practicing for decades. But for the time that I have been practicing, there are certainly shady players in almost every avenue of immigration, right? We see it on the entrepreneurial side. We see it at the international student level, which they recently had to cap international students for a wide variety of reasons, but largely due to people misusing the program. And there's also a program called the Startup Visa. This is another pathway to permanent residence, and this is aimed at tech founders. So you and maybe up to four other friends could start a tech company. And again, like, we can go into the weeds of the program, but one of the requirements is getting what's called a letter of support from a designated incubator or fund in Canada.
So basically, if Canada had a cut line, it would be, Canada, tech bros welcome.
Well, to be honest, Matt, the volume of that program has not been that high. And I think part of the reason is they actually are doing a pretty decent job at policing it. And what they're saying is, you know what? We see that some of these designated entities are not playing by the rules. So we're going to double check letter of supports that are coming from those designated entities where they're hearing some of this bad news from. But also, the Startup Visa program is a very relatively low volume program. So what do I mean by that? In an average year, they might approve 2,000, 3,000 of these applications, as compared to Express Entry that I was talking about, where they might approve 110, 120, 130,000 applications, right?
Okay.
So they're not really apples to oranges or apples to apples.
Right. Okay. So let's just go back here. So tell me, that who's the sweet person right now? Like, who's the number one candidate that Canada wants?
So two things. Number one, it's gotten a lot harder in the last 2 to 3 years to get permanent residence in Canada, a lot harder. And we can go into why if you want. But number two is, based on those express entry point systems and what we're seeing, what Canada wants right now is someone with high education. So ideally multiple bachelor degrees or master's or PhD, a couple years of skilled work experience, and ideally working in very specific industries: healthcare, STEM, agriculture, French speakers. And there was one or two more, long haul trucking. I had no idea. Apparently we really need a lot of long haul truck drivers. And
so I'm the ideal candidate. I'm a 29-year-old French speaking orthopedic surgeon who drives truck on the weekend.
You're a lawyer's dream.
Yeah, a lawyer's dream. So that's fascinating that it is so specific. And what now, there's different ways to get. I could get in as a refugee as well, right?
Yeah, I mean, that's a bit of a whole other conversation. And to be honest, I don't have a ton of experience on the refugee side. It's a little bit of a, I don't want to say different ballgame, but just a lot of practitioners might work in what we call either economic immigration. So a lot of what we just talked about, right? Mm-hmm. Skilled workers and entrepreneurs and business immigration and stuff like that. And then there's, you know, non-economic, so more family, you know, sponsorship and that stuff. And then refugee, H&C, right? Human and compassionate grounds and refugee situations. I don't have a ton of experience in the latter, but certainly.
Do you think human and compassionate grounds could be that if Trump wins another election in the United States, the progressives could be considered like potential political prisoners and want to leave? Do you think that would wash with Canadian immigration?
I think you'd have an uphill battle, especially if there was a huge volume of it. But I will tell you this, when Trump won his first, when he was elected that first time, I've never had so many inquiries from American citizens.
Really?
Because the years prior, I used to rarely, if ever, right? I mean, if you were living in America pre-Trump, you know, things are going pretty well. What do you want to come to Canada for, right? Like, you're probably going to take a pay cut. Back then, our cost of living was a little bit more reasonable, right? But now our cost of living's high. In a lot of industries, we don't pay as well as in America. So, but yeah, I was shocked. I got so many inquiries from people in the U.S.
Apparently, the night of the election in 2016, the immigration computer system servers went down in Ottawa. There were so many inquiries, so many people checking to see. And I'm sure the same thing will happen again if he ends up winning.
Probably. The biggest surprise to me, Matt, was we usually get inquiries from, like, immigrants who are in the U.S., but they struggle to get a green card or passports there because it's very difficult, especially depending on your nationality. But the huge uptick was in Americans, American passport holders. And I was like, wow, this, I guess they really are in for a rough time if you know, this many American citizens want to uproot and move north. So it'll be interesting to see if he wins again, you know, what sort of patterns emerge or whether we see that uptick again as well.
Yeah, it'll be interesting for a lot of reasons.
Oh, yeah.
Can you tell me a little bit about why my age is an encumbrance?
Well, I can tell you why I think, right? I don't design the systems, unfortunately, but I think the reality is twofold. Number one, the workforce, right? We really have an aging population and we're lacking younger skilled workers, right? So we need people in their 20s and 30s and maybe even in their late teens to, you know, train up and join the workforce. Secondly is, as many of us know, Canada has pretty good benefits in the form of healthcare, for example, right? And what we don't want is tons of people coming into the country or immigrating to Canada and then taking the first drive over to the hospital and, you know, being stuck there and quote unquote draining the system, right?
Or Josh, draining the resources. Hold up one second here. Hang on, this, we weren't expecting this. No. Mm-hmm. What's going on here? Oh, God, I'm surprised that you've dropped in to see us. Matthew, you know, I love the podcast and free legal advice is always good. And so I just wanted to, Josh, I just thank you for doing Matt's podcast. I wanted to ask you a couple of questions pertaining to myself. I don't mean to be egocentric or anything, but, you know, I'm thinking of moving to Canada. And I'm just wondering, could you review, you know, my point system? What are my shots? Could you think I could immigrate? Like, just tell me what your thoughts are on that.
I could do my best. I'll first say we're flattered. We're flattered, God. I'm a big fan, and,
oh, thank
and I'm
you,
very,
Josh,
very
thank
flattered you would even consider it. Yeah.
Well, no, thank you. Okay. So, like, points. Like, what do I need? What do I got? Like, tell me. Ask me the questions. Fire away. I'm ready to go.
Okay. Age.
Josh, that's a very, very complicated question. let's just say senior plus, okay? Let's just go senior plus.
I was assuming no younger than 29. That's fair to assume?
Definitely not 29, no.
Okay, how would you describe your current occupation, God?
Well, I'm a deity, and I'm also a podcaster.
Okay, I might have to look up how the government treats that first title. I haven't had experience dealing with that occupation, but that
deities,
might be something I can get back to you on.
Yeah, generally speaking, deities have a lot of respect. You know, I mean, it's just, I'm not bragging. It's just that what my job is.
Right. I'll take your word for it. What about education, God? Where have you, where did you learn growing up?
Well, I guess the main thing is that I wrote the Bible. Have you heard about the Bible? It's
once
it
or
is
twice.
The best,
yeah.
Well, it's the best selling book in history, right? It's like was on the New York Times bestsellers list for, I think, since, you know, 400 BC or something. In any event, very popular. I've done a lot of media. My book is doing well. You know, that type of thing.
Okay, so based on that, I could assume there's a plethora of work experience that you could probably rely on too.
Well, a lot of work experience, but you have to understand, when I was growing up, there was no such thing as university. So I didn't go, but it wasn't my fault. They didn't have a bachelor's program. What's a bachelor? Anyway. What else do you need to know?
Well, what I would say, God, is in terms of the short term.
What about income? You didn't ask me about income.
Well, I was going to get to that. What currency are we working with? And what is your financial situation these days?
Currency, there's no problem. Whatever currency the government wants, I can handle that. That's not a problem. As far as money's concerned, this is not to be discussed loosely. You probably noticed, well, I don't have that much money, okay? A lot of people think I have a lot of money. I don't have that much money. If I had a lot of money, I'd be wearing Brooks Brothers suits. What I'm wearing is a sheet from Winners. So you can tell that I'm not actually that wealthy. But I do, like I said, very popular book, Josh, very popular. It's in every motel room, I think.
But I guess the royalties aren't that great then, if finances are a struggle here.
Well, a lot of that book is given away for free. I'm not sure why. It doesn't please me. I do have copyright. But in any event, like I said, I'm wise. I've been around a long time. I wrote an important book. I don't have much education, and I don't have a lot of money, but I think I could make a contribution, especially okay. as a podcaster.
Well, one thing I think we could work with is there are some good work permit options and work permit exemptions for religious type employees, uh-huh, right?
That's it. That's good. Yeah. Uh-huh.
So if we could work with that deity title and maybe, you know, come up with some good synonyms or good work titles and maybe have you lead some sort of religious place of worship, it sounds like that might be up your alley.
Oh, yeah. Well, I could definitely do that. I like the way you're thinking about this. You're kind of looking at all the, there's a lot of creativity in what you're doing. A lot of thinking about how we can kind of make this work for the Canadian government. I mean, I just think about the press that you would get, you know, like I handled God's immigration. That would make good business.
I think it'd be good in the press. I think it'd be good for our country. I think we could use it right now. You know, a little extra oomph wouldn't hurt. So what I would say is
I'm sorry to interrupt, but I just wanted to tell you, I don't speak French very well. A little, I speak a bonjour. I speak a little, comment allez-vous? I speak a little French, but I'm not that good at French.
Okay. Well, we can definitely get you in through the religious related work permits. That would be my recommendation. Now, getting you permanent residence might be tough. We might have to lean on the book stuff. We might have to maybe try and fit you into an entrepreneurial avenue.
Entrepreneurial? I love business. I just don't have a lot of money. Okay, that's good. What else you got?
Maybe we can partner you up. You know what I mean? You have the brand, you have the name,
I got
the strength
brand.
In the name. Maybe we just need to partner you up with more of a business mind to monetize that a little bit more. And then we can lean on some of those more financially based options.
Josh, I got to tell you, I'm a little excited about this because I went to see you as an immigration lawyer, but you seem to be kind of like, maybe taking a bit of a role like an agent or a manager or something like that. I could really use the people in branding were very frustrated with me with the podcast. You know, it took a while to get the name. Did you hear the podcast? Have you heard my podcast at all? Because
of course.
Okay, well, I would like to play you the theme. I'm going to play the theme right now because I'm just so proud of it. Right, Pi, roll the theme for Josh because I think that's going to help with immigration. Mm-hmm. What do you think? That's pretty beautiful, huh?
I think we're onto something here, God. I think we could run with it.
Good. So, Josh, I'm telling you, this is what I'd like you to do. I'd like you to make a presentation. Who are you going to present this to? Like, do you go to the minister? Like, do you go right to the minister of citizenship and go like, I got a guy I think you might be interested in. Like, what's the process? Just quickly, because I'm running out of time here. I got a recording session I have to go to.
Yeah, we prepare an application in the form of paperwork. We fill out some forms. We gather some of your documents. I'll need your birth certificate, you know, passport, stuff like that.
Birth certificate, passport. This could be complicated. Okay, keep going. What else? Well, actually, that's on stone tablets, and I have to ship the tablets.
We apply online typically, God. So if you could take a picture, you have a smartphone, maybe you could take a picture of the tablets and send it my way.
Okay, that's a good idea. Okay. Okay, so it's
maybe
all
I'll get your email off air. I don't think we want it to give that out too publicly.
No, it's
maybe
fine.
Off air.
No, god@gmail.com. It's not complicated.
Okay.
But so what do you think my chances are? Because I really have to I'm in a bit of a bind in a couple places, and I really have to make this quick. What do you think my chances are?
I think the short-term chances are quite high because, like I said, there are some good work permit options for religious-type employees. Then we might have to work a little bit closer together. I think this could be a nice ongoing relationship. But to get you that permanent resident status, if that's what you want, if you want to stay here beyond just being a worker for a couple of years, we might have to get a little bit more creative on the permanent residence side. But I think given your background, given, you know, all the respect and the brand power that you have, and maybe a few other skills that we can rely on, I think we could make it work.
Josh, just one final question before I go. How much do you charge an hour?
Typically, we work on a per application basis.
So oh, how I can much give is you an application quote,
cost? Depending on the
for
type.
Like a deity. Do you have like a deity rate?
I think we could work something out, God. Maybe a little, you know, a little exchange. Maybe you mention me in your next next verse, or, you know, something. Your
That's
next,
a good idea. I like that idea.
Podcast like episode.
Yeah, for sure. That's a good idea. Okay. Okay. Take my file. Let's get this thing started. I'll send you pictures of the passport and the tablets. I'll get that off to you in no time. And Josh, I got to tell you, it was a real pleasure meeting you. Thank you so much. I got to run. I got a session for my podcast. Thank you so much.
It's my pleasure. I'm looking forward to it.
Josh, I'm so sorry. I mean, he does this all the time. He just like pops in. He's like, he doesn't tell me he's coming. And all of a sudden, it's like all about him.
But well, anyway, listen, I can't say I've had an experience like that before. So it's a first for me.
I think you handled it very well. I just kind of decided to sit back and kind of just chill there for a second, because I didn't want to get involved. He gets kind of angry sometimes. Like he's a bit unpredictable. But listen, I think that's great that you've got it. I brought you a new client, right?
Thank you, Matt. Absolutely.
And I mean, imagine when that drops and people find out he's coming and you handled it. And this creativity that you're talking, like this whole thing about entrepreneurship and the where that crosses with religious groups and special like this is phenomenal stuff you're creating here. This is awesome.
Thank you. No, I appreciate the opportunity. If it wasn't for this show, you know, who knows?
Well, listen, we're gonna stay in touch, because this was very, very helpful for me. And there's a whole bunch of other things that we have to talk about in this season. And particularly, I think towards the as we get closer to the election, I think that you and I are going to need to spend a little bit of time on here and figure out how we can salvage some of our progressives out of the United States. And because, you know, it's the type of thing where in the United States, it's getting to be love it and leave it.
There's a lot of unhappy people here, especially related to our immigration programs and processes and, you know, what we've seen over the last 7-8 years. So I think there's a lot to talk about on both sides of the border, and would love to continue the conversation.
Thank you so much, Josh.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Pleasure.
Yep, the ideal candidate, a 29-year-old French-speaking long-haul trucker who dabbles in orthopedic surgery on the weekends.
Tranquille, tranquille, ça fera pas mal. Chut, 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 c'est beau, c'est fini.
On the evening of November 8th, 2016, Donald Trump was elected as the 45th President of the United States of America. Also on the evening of November 8th, 2016, the website for Canadian Immigration and Citizenship crashed, because y'all were like, wait, what? Where's Canada?
Thanks for listening to the Yes We Canada podcast. Sound designed and mixed by Pi Salen Cutler. Our theme was written by Doug Wild and Matt Zimbel and is performed by Manteca. My name is Lisa Evans, and I'm your announcer. Yes We Canada is an independent podcast, and you can support our work with a contribution and a monthly subscription by going to patreon.com/yeswecanada, where your contribution will be deeply appreciated. Until next time.